Good evening. Please turn in the Word of God to the book of Genesis, chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. We have been thinking, beginning on Sunday morning, about lessons for modern man from the book of Genesis. And I made the point on Sunday that although this is a very ancient book, that it definitely has quite a bit to say, quite a bit that our present world would do well to heed and listen to, because it really touches on the deepest and most important issues that we as human beings face. I want to read in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, we were thinking on Sunday morning, for those who didn't have the benefit of being here or were serving the Lord elsewhere, had other responsibilities and such, we were thinking to begin with about how Genesis gets it right in that it starts out with the focus on God. In the very first verse of the Bible, after all, we read, "In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But it starts out with God, and really, that's where every human being must start. If you're going to understand what we're doing here on earth as human beings, if you're going to understand what meaning and purpose are, if you're going to understand morality and ethics, if you're going to understand the problems that confront our world today, and the solutions to those problems, you have to begin with God. Of course, that's much of our modern world's problem, that many people don't begin with God. Perhaps the majority don't begin by looking at it from God's standpoint. But the Word of God, the Bible, certainly begins that way. It says, "In the beginning, God." Now, these verses in Genesis chapter 1 tell us a lot about that God. Just briefly, we touched on the point that God is eternal, that before anything else existed, already God was. God is outside of his creation. He made it for himself. But he is not to be identified with it. In other words, it's not correct to say, well, God's in the dolphin, or God's in the whale, or God's in the chimpanzee, or a lot of the rubbish we hear some people talking nowadays. No, God existed before he made anything else. And as an eternal God, he always existed. He was self-existent. That means he needed nothing else to exist. He's the one who says, "I am that I am," in Exodus 3:14. What's more, he is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything else to continue on. As you go through the early chapters of the book of Genesis, you find out, of course, that he is wise, because he's able to make this vast creation that is so diverse, that has so many different kinds of animals, so many different kinds of land masses and so forth. God is a wise God, but he's also a powerful God. Because over and over we read in the book of Genesis, "And God said," and it was so. God just spoke and it came into being. And God is a holy God, we find out, because he's a God who even in Genesis chapter 1 makes distinctions. He makes distinctions between light and darkness. And the New Testament would tell us in 1 John chapter 1 that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He's a holy God. That means he's pure. He's separate from all that is evil. He stands unique in himself. There's no one else like God. He says, I am the Lord God, and my glory I will not give to another. What's more, he is a God, happily, who although he is holy, although he is powerful, although he is all-wise, as the New Testament says in multiple places, although he is triune, although he is self-sufficient and self-existent and eternal, the Bible also tells us right there in Genesis chapter 1 that he's a God who reveals himself. And how good that is. That God is no stranger to human beings. At least he ought not to be. Paul would make this point to the Athenians in Acts 17, saying that he's not far from every one of us, because in him we live and move and have our being. You see, God isn't distant out there in heaven, sort of having created you and me and put us on this planet and said, all right, now you guys go and figure out how to sort things out and how to fix this planet that's broken. God doesn't do that. God says, I'm a God who speaks. As Francis Schaeffer in one of his books many years ago titled it, he said, the God who is there. That was the first book in the trilogy of books that he wrote. The next book he wrote was called, He is There and He's Not Silent. And how good it is to know that God is there, that God exists, and that he's not a silent God, that he's a God who speaks to us in words. Words that we can understand. Words contained in the Bible that reveal to us the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having begun with God, we then move on in the Genesis record to the account of man's beginnings. And I can't stress how important that is. We have to see how the Bible says that man came into being. Because there are two main extremes in human thinking today regarding man. One extreme says that man is the measure of all things, that man is most important, that man being the top of the food chain and the wisest being on this planet has the right to do with planet Earth as he pleases, has the right to determine what is good and what is evil. So if a man, for example, determines that he is sexually attracted to another man, he says, well, there's nothing wrong with that because, after all, it's my natural inclination. I can't help that, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it. Everybody should condone it and let me have the sort of lifestyle I want. And the Bible says that is absolutely wrong. The Bible says that is contrary to how God created man. It's contrary to ongoing biology, and it's contrary to the outright commandment of God, who calls that thinking an abomination, a terrible sin. Now, it is not that God doesn't love those people that engage in that sin. Just like any other sort of sinner, God offers them salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But make no mistake about God's forgiveness and God's offer of salvation. Any sinner in coming to God, in being saved, has to put aside man's thinking. Has to say, no, man's thinking is wrong. Proverbs says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I'm going to put man's thinking aside, and I'm going to listen to God's thinking. And I'm going to come and believe what God says about me. I'm a sinner, deserving hell, deserving judgment, deserving to be separated from God for eternity. But I can be saved, not based on who I am or what I've done, but based on who the Lord Jesus Christ is, the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, the one who died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. But we still have this error in the world today that people think that they are number one, that they are the most important, and that they, therefore, have the right to make decisions and determine what is right and wrong on this planet. And what's more, that if this planet's to be saved, they must save it. Hence the modern thrust of the environmental movement. Now, certainly we should be good stewards of the planet that God entrusted to us. We'll see that when we look at how God created man. But you know, it's a wrong thing to say that man is the one who's going to save this planet. I'm sorry. The Bible says that this planet is under judgment already. The world is under condemnation, John chapter 3 teaches. And what has to be done? Man can't save it. He has to flee the wrath to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. So on one side, you might say the error is that man thinks he is everything. Man thinks he is like a god, so to speak. But then there is another error out there, and it's amazing that although it is somewhat of an opposed idea, somewhat of an antithesis, an idea that's the opposite, although it's an opposed and opposite idea, it's amazing how often one person will hold both these views. They'll think on one hand that man is everything. But on the other hand, they'll say, man is nothing. They will say that because they'll say, well, after all, we're here by the product of evolution. That is blind chance and blind forces of nature times billions or trillions, if needed, of years has produced life on this planet. And since we're here by accident, after all, then we can't have very much worth. And so small wonder that people believing they're here like accident and believe that they're just another form of animal, maybe a higher class of animal, just another offshoot of the primates, a close cousin of the chimpanzee and whatever else. And small wonder that man, thinking he's an animal here by accident, then begins to behave like an animal and to consider human life as being of almost no value. So disesteemed is human life today that a woman recently in Maryland was found guilty of killing 4 of her infant children over a period of time. They found, I believe, 3 of them buried in her backyard. They found another wrapped in a towel and stuffed under a sink in her home. And when they asked her to recount the story of what had happened, she gave an account of giving birth to one of the children and then waiting for it to drown in the toilet before taking it out and burying it. Now, you will forgive me for publicly mentioning so heinous a thing as that, but I think we've got to be honest about where human beings are today. Sadly, that's not an isolated incident, where people will throw out little children with the garbage today in our world. And people will murder them in the womb by the millions in the civilized, so-called, countries of the world. Human life has such a small value in man's sight today. On one hand, they think man is everything. On the other hand, they think man is worth nothing, and therefore, if someone gets in your way, you can take their life with impunity, not worrying about any consequences. If you've got to kill some people, or a few million of them, just ask some of the dictators of the 20th century, from Saddam Hussein on back to Idi Amin and Pol Pot and Mao Zedong and Hitler and Stalin and all the rest. If you have to wipe out human beings by the millions to achieve your dreams of an Aryan Reich or of a communist utopia or whatever else you're trying to do, then that's perfectly okay. If you have the power to do it, go ahead and do it. So these are 2 extreme errors, but errors that are very common today, that people probably even on this island would believe on one hand that they're the center of the universe, that they're the most important.